The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, welcome, everybody. So tonight I'd like to continue on this series that I've been doing on the inner critic. There's so much that we could say about it, and there's actually a lot of that other people have said about it too. But I wanted to talk about two things. One is we might have this idea, well, I need this inner critic. I mean, of course, there's some sense that you need it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it, right? So there's some sense, whether it's in the front of the mind or buried somewhere in the back of the mind, that this inner critic is helpful in some way. But one way we might be thinking about it is that if we didn't have it, we wouldn't even bother to get out of bed in the morning, or we wouldn't ever get anything done. We might have this idea that we need this inner critic that kind of sometimes shames us or puts us down or telling us, you should do this, you shouldn't have done that, you know, this type of language that so many of us have inside. We might have this idea that, well, if that weren't the case, then I would just lounge around eating bonbons every day. But it turns out that, you know, there's been a lot of research on this. You can imagine, right, that corporate America wants to know how best to motivate people. So there's been a lot of research in this type of area, right? And it shows that actually, if there's a leader or somebody who treats themselves in a way that's encouraging or positive or focused on what is possible, then people are more motivated and they do their best job. So to be criticized, to be yelled at, or to feel like, oh, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, turns out not to be effective. So this, rather than focusing on everything that's wrong, but this idea of focusing, or I shouldn't say just the idea, but the action of focusing on what's possible. I like this idea of what's possible. Instead of like looking back, like, oh, I should have done this. And the good news is that all of us, we do have these more sophisticated ways of navigating our life other than just the inner critic. Even though the inner critic may sometimes be really loud and really believable and may seem particularly authoritative. But there's different ways that we can express this, and I've heard it different ways. But this idea that there, in some ways, there's like a committee inside of us, right? There's not just an inner critic, of course, right? I'm just using this as a to make a point. There aren't, of course, different beings inside of us, of course not. But so we can listen to some of these other inner voices, some other, I don't know, the types of knowing or ways of understanding or some alternatives to this inner critic. And one of them that's an alternative to the inner critic is our heart. So what feels like a kind way forward? What feels like a fair way to treat others, to treat ourselves? So we're using heart to kind of like point to something that, you know, that has this quality of feeling good. Like this feels like the right thing to do. So that's one thing we can listen to other than the inner critic is our hearts. We can listen to our intuition or our gut. Sometimes it's hard to like really understand, okay, what is that exactly? Often we know it when it's there, but sometimes we aren't quite sure how to trust it. And I will say that there's a few things maybe that can be like a clue for intuition and gut. often it's arises somehow like in the periphery of our mind. It's not like the most clear thing right in front of us. Sometimes it shows up that way, but often it's just on the periphery, but repeated in some kind of way. But maybe it's different for other people. I'm describing a little bit how it is for myself. But also something else that's for me is really a hallmark about kind of like the gut or intuition is that it's not focused on outcomes. It is not focused on do this in order that that will happen. Do this because it'll make this other thing not happen. It's like, no, just there's a feeling like the next right thing is this. It's just this. There's a sense of that, like a sense of maybe a, there's a lightness to it as opposed to a heaviness. The inner critic has a heaviness to it. So that's a second thing we can listen to other than the inner critic. A third is we can use our reasoning. We can use our discursive thinking mind, right? Of course, right? We don't want to leave that out. And so one thing that we all understand, even if we don't really have it at the forefront of our minds, is that we all understand that actions have consequences. Like how could they not? Oh, there's like, are no exceptions. And this is part of one of the profound teachings of Buddhism is like, there are no exceptions. So the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do, right, they have an effect. Of course they do. So we can kind of like bring our discursive mind on board as an alternative to the inner critic and to just recognize like, oh, what's happening right now is the product of earlier actions or earlier things. Like the conditions were put in place for this to happen. We might not know all of the conditions and we may not be in control of any or all of them, but there isn't such a thing as like magic. Like things don't just spontaneously arise for absolutely no reason, right? That just doesn't happen. So we can just recognize like, oh, okay, I can see why I'm being hard on myself because the way I grew up, the way that my schooling was, the way that my society, my culture is, or something like this. Or I can say, yeah, okay, maybe I really messed up, but that was because I was distracted, because I was in pain. That thing in my knee was bothering me again, or I was worried about doctor's appointment, I haven't got the test results back, or something like this. So just to recognize like, oh yeah, we don't have to take all of the blame ourselves. In some ways, there's a little bit of a lot of kind of like ego. We think like, oh yes, I'm responsible for it. We often do this, right? We say, I'm to blame if anything bad happens. But just to recognize it's lots of things that come together. My speaking right now, and you listening has to Zoom had to be invented in this way. I have to have a computer that has a microphone. I have to have the idea that I want to speak. I have to have vocal cords and air has to be able to come out past my vocal cords. You have to be able to hear, you know, like we could go on and on and on and on, right? There's so many things that come together for each event. So that's a third thing that we can use other than the inner critic. Listen to our heart, what feels kind, warm, fair. We can listen to our gut or our intuition, the sense of, okay, I don't necessarily know exactly how this can turn out, but the right thing to do right now is this. And three, we can use our reasoning, remembering that, okay, well, what's happening right now is the product of conditions, including the inner critic arising is the product of conditions. And if we want something to be different, right, we can make some different conditions for different things to happen. So just this recognition that we can change the channel. But of course, it's easy to say that. That's not so easy, right? When we're in the midst of when the inner critic is really loud, to just change the channel. But I'd like to introduce these phrases that I introduced last week, and we'll use them again today. This idea of, I'm doing the best I can right now. Like we always are. We're not intentionally doing less than the best. Maybe we have different capacities at different times, but I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. And may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. And we'll practice with these phrases so that we can embody them and internalize them so that they might arise when we need them. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do a little meditation practice. Do some mindfulness. We'll start with mindfulness of the body. How does this body feel at this moment? Are there some areas of tension or tightness? If so, what happens if you rest awareness on those areas? It might be that it brings some softness, some letting go, some ease to those areas. Might not, too. No promises. Whatever is there, can we just notice as best we can? And bringing our attention to the sensations of breathing, feeling the chest move and the belly move, or feeling the sensations of air going in and out of the nose. Wherever feels comfortable for you, just resting your attention on those sensations in the body. And when the mind wanders, as it's apt to do, just very simply, gently begin again. just a reminder, you can always come back to this practice. If ever it feels like it's too much or feeling disoriented or whatever it might be, it's always an option just to do mindfulness of the body or mindfulness of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness meditation, we'll start where it's easy. We want to kind of like soften the heart as we're about to explore this inner critic. It's nice to approach it with some warmth and openness. So we'll start with some loving kindness. We'll start with the lovable being, a being that's easy, uncomplicated, to have some goodwill for, to have warm-heartedness towards. To love. This might be a furry family member, might be somebody you don't even know, but who has touched you with their talks or writings. Bringing this lovable being to mind and connecting with them. Allow yourself to feel the appreciation, or care, respect, warmth, love that you have for this being. To support our staying connected and cultivating loving kindness, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. and then to extend this loving kindness towards ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can we extend loving kindness towards ourselves? If it feels a little bit uncomfortable, can you do it anyway? Or some people find it easier to have an image of themselves when they were a child and to start there. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And now, having cultivated this warm-heartedness, bring to mind a difficulty in your life on a scale of 1 to 10, choose something as like a 2 or a 3. And having this difficulty in mind, you might feel a little bit of agitation. Here are some phrases you can say. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. No requirement to use all three phrases. Maybe just choose one that feels resonant and appropriate. Maybe tweak it or make a new one of your own. And if that difficulty is no longer up or compelling, maybe there's another one. Or maybe just going back to some loving kindness practice. Whatever feels right or supportive for you at this time. I'm doing the best that I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So this idea that there's a number of, I'm using this expression, voices inside of us. It's just one way to think about it. This inner critic. But as well as we have like this heart, this that cares about others and is sensitive. We also have a thinking mind that recognizes, okay, all actions have consequences. This is arising for particular reasons. And we also have an intuition, which like a gut sense that, yeah, this is the right thing. This feels right. That often the intuitive feels accompanied with a maybe a sense of space. It doesn't feel contracted or tight or something like that. I know I'm using vague language, but maybe there's a way in which it can relate to that. So now I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk to one another about this, about is there a way to be reminded that there's more than one way that we can respond to difficulties? There's more than one perspective, more than one voice that we can use. And how can we help switch to the other? Doing this type of practice certainly is a support. But are there some other things that are support to remind us that there's alternative perspectives and alternative ways to be with our experience? So I'm going to put you into groups of three or four. And it's helpful if there's just, you say one thing and then let it go to the next person and then they say one thing and then it goes to the next person. And in this way, everybody has an opportunity to speak. So you don't have to feel like, you know, you have to tell your deepest, darkest secrets or really long, complicated stories. And maybe I'll say that it's, helpful, maybe also to level the playing field between the introverts and the extroverts. Let's go in the order of the last digit of the street number or the house number on your street that you live in. The last digit. Because it occurred to me there's probably a lot of people that starts with one, or I don't know if that's true or not, but so just the last digit of the house number in which you live. Okay, here we are. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to say? Yes, Neil.
So, first of all, I have love this series. Absolutely loved it. So, you know, one thing that has come up in just about every one of them is that I need to, is that, you know, you have to like relinquish or admit that you don't have full control over yourself, right? That there is some concept of not self or anatta. I mean, otherwise, the only reason you didn't accomplish what you think you should have accomplished is because you weren't trying hard enough. You know, thank you, Mr. Inner Critic, for reminding me of this and trying to spur me on. You know, so I guess I'm wondering, you know, how do you, you know, yeah.
How do I like hold all this, all these?
Sort yeah.
Of? Yeah, I felt like I maybe did this a little bit awkwardly today, but I wanted to suggest that it's helpful to, you know, use these tools, maybe I'll say, and a tool is like, okay, there's different voices inside of us without believing that there is some integral, inherent parts of us that are a particular way, but it's helpful to kind of notice that we do have different perspectives or different ways of viewing things. I'm even using this language, we have, like technically we don't, but I wanted this Inner Critic series to not be so much about not self, because I feel like that's often not helpful, but instead I wanted to use language that is kind of vague enough, but also that people can find themselves. I don't know. Is that helpful, Nia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure? I'm not convinced with your...
Well. No, you just gave me a lot to think about, right? Because I certainly think of there being many aspects of myself. You know, my inner critic is Mr. Jones, my ninth grade sadistic biology teacher. So that's sort of really resonates with the way I've been thinking in the past. So yeah, it's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. And maybe I'll say that part of what I'm kind of hoping will happen is we point to these different ways in which we can respond, or this recognition that there's more than one inner voice, is to loosen our grip on this idea of like, I should be different. Because when we have that, we're stuck. And this is kind of, you know, different ways to help us get unstuck. So to encourage some letting go, because that's where the freedom is, right? With this letting go, or something like that. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Diana, I see that we're at the top of the hour, but I'm happy to stay. So there's a number of questions that came up here. So
I can be fast on this one. I really appreciate the idea of picking something that's a two or a three. Especially important for me, because I can immediately go right to a 9 or a 10 and maybe 5 or 6 of them, and then be just 1, 2, or 3. You said this last week, and it's been helping me. It's during the day, something comes up that if it's not this enormous deal, but something I can work with and get a handle on, and it's strengthening. So thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you for saying that. Because of course we want to go to the 9s and the 10s. Of course we do. We want to fix these big, terrible things in our life. But this is how we do it, as we practice here at 2s and 3s. And helps us to, tackle when those 9s and 10s arrive. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you.
Basil.
Hi, thank you very much. Sorry, I've heard... in general, trying to do things like, you know, work, trying to get something done, trying to grow in this way or that. I know I've heard the answer to this a million different ways, but it just came up again where I'm a little confused. Like, what's the best way to kind of aspire to something without attachment to outcome, without too much should in that?
This is such a great question. This is such a great question. And I think all of us, we have to find our way with this. How can we have aspirations? How can we have North Stars? How can we have goals in a way that helps support us and maybe like guide us, but don't bind us? Often the way that we kind of talk about it is like, if this is I have a bell striker in my hand, if we can hold the striker like this, you know, like really hold it tightly. So there's a way in which we can hold our aspirations, our goals. I have to have this, because as soon as I have this, I'm going to be happy. People will like me. I'll feel safe, you know, forevermore, you know, these types of ideas, like as soon as I get this thing. But what I'm trying to point to is, can we hold it like this? I'm still holding it, right? But my hand is open. So with my palm open. So that's part of how can we have a relationship with these aspirations and goals that are like this, as opposed to like this, where we're really holding on tightly. So I don't know if that's a satisfactory, Fossil.
That was really good. Thank you.
Yeah. Quentin.
I wanted to just quickly share an experience. I really appreciated my partners, and it was the first time that I had, to my knowledge, I'll just say this. My pronouns are he and his, and I believe my partners may have understood that and related to that. My partner showed up and expressed, with very little words, a lot of calm. That was that really circulated in the space for me. And it was different. Each one was different. It's a different kind of calming. It wasn't soothing. It was just a calming, just natural expression, maybe, of who they wanted, what they were presenting in that moment. And it really further helped me to see the situation I brought up as how I handled the situation with kind of calm that brings me to a certain place where I did the right thing of being able to take different perspectives in this story I shared, which was very powerful and stimulating. And simply them being there listening with their own version of calm and expressing that when they spoke as well, I can't tell you how it reminded me of how you held the wooden striker in your hand. It was virtually the same thing. It was just their version of it. And it was very appreciative.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you, Quentin. This is, I think, what all of us want too, right? We want to be seen by others and kind of like, and be given the space and to be held in a way that respects us and respects that we will do what we will do, but I don't know, with some honoring and respect of that. Beautiful, beautiful. I have to say that I'm enjoying this series also, so we're going to continue this kind of like inner critic. I see some thumbs up, so okay, that's good. And okay, so with a heart full of appreciation, I want to say thank you and good night. And if you'd like to unmute, we can all say goodbye together.
Thanks, goodbye. Diana.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.